You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. Please listen to Her Story, celebrating women who lead, on air, online, and archived on the WDIY app. This program is generously supported by Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health. Amanda Kimmel Cohen with Jefferson Health, thank you for joining us on Her Story podcast. Tell me a little bit, tell our viewers a little bit more about who you are, and please feel free to introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege and an honor to be here today. I am a native of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Love it.
So this is a special place to me. I actually am a graduate of Liberty High School, born and raised, and moved to the Philadelphia area to go to college and have been there ever since.
Wow.
My mother still lives in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, So I come here frequently to visit my family. And again, it's a place I really enjoy, and I am proud to have been born and raised in Bethlehem.
That's fantastic. And, you know, so going off of that vein, there's a lot of excitement going on in your world. You just, really, when you look at it, you're so humble, right? But your work spans all across the network for Jefferson. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Jefferson.
I'm very fortunate that I get to be one of the leaders for the women's health strategy across the Jefferson system, which is now the number 14 largest health system in America with our merger with Lehigh Valley Health Network. So we currently have 10 hospital campuses where we are delivering babies, 9 across Pennsylvania, 1 in New Jersey, and we have a wide variety of women's health services across our entire landscape. So it's been a privilege and an honor to be able to be part of the planning in terms of how to find the best practices happening across our system and implement them everywhere.
That's wonderful. And we're really fortunate that we have such a wonderful health networks all throughout the Lehigh Valley. I think that's really important. We strive for the quality of life, for health for our youngins, right? Our children and our family. And one thing that I really respect about women that work in medical and women that work, period, right? But there is a lot of up-and-coming women that would love to hear more about how you got to where you got to.
One of the things I want to say about Lehigh Valley Health Network is it's evident to me how much of a true investment Lehigh Valley Network has placed in women's health care.
Yeah, yeah.
And now in learning from all of the work that they've been doing, we're really able to expand upon the work we're doing everywhere.
Awesome.
So grateful for those at Lehigh Valley Health Network who have believed in women's health, invested in it, and funded it, because I think we're able to, again, expand that work into other pockets. So we're grateful to have them as leaders in this space and to partner with them.
It's beautiful.
In terms of getting started on the leadership journey, that was never my intention.
Yeah.
So I went to college and I was a psychology major and I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to help people. And I grew up in a family where my mother was heavily engaged in political activism throughout her entire life. And I was brought by her to political rallies as a young woman, and she really instilled the philosophies of feminism while she was raising my sisters and I.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to help women. I knew I didn't want to be entrenched in corporate America.
Mm.
I wanted to do something in the nonprofit sector. So I ended up going to social work school. I received a master's in social work and was working in the behavioral health field, primarily with underserved communities.
Mm.
And it was very gratifying work. But I got the opportunity to take on a temporary leadership position when one of the women I was working with went out on a maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I reluctantly said yes to that. Sometimes it's all about the yes, which really has become, I think, my philosophy in leadership. And it's what I talk to women about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't intend to be a leader. It's not what I wanted to do. But when I was given the opportunity, I reluctantly said yes. not knowing if I'd be good at doing that. Mm. I hadn't led teams. Mm. I had been working in a relatively solitary job where I was with patients, not part of a team environment, and it was a stretch for me. Mm. I felt feelings of imposter syndrome, which you hear women talk about all the time.
All the time.
I wasn't sure if it would be something that I would be good at. But I quickly took to the leadership role, and then when it became a permanent offer, I jumped at the chance, finally feeling like I, you know, dipped my toes into the space and enjoyed it and was actually comfortable there.
Wow.
So again, not intentional, but really ended up changing the trajectory of my career. I think initially I thought that I'd eventually work for, you know, start a private practice mm-hmm. as a therapist.
Yeah.
Never in a million years would I have thought I would be having a large administrative position at a huge health system.
And I think you leaned in, right?
I leaned in.
You leaned into your fear. You leaned into your, you know, if there was an insecurity there that you had. But you said, I'm going to take this head on, and I'm able to do it, and I'm able to get to where I want to get to. But it's going to take days. And I'm sure there are days that you're like, whoa, am I fit for this, right? And I think women have those thoughts more and more. You know, statistically, when you come to, you know, an interview, right, or a position like that, if we've even had no experience and we say, I'm not sure if I'd be qualified, but the same male counterpart said, yeah, I could learn it. I can have that confidence to go out and do it. And I'm not saying that all males are like that, but the majority are. So I think those are, you know, taking from those individuals or those characteristics, I think there's nothing wrong with that. And believing that we are powerful and that we are important and that we have something to offer is really, really important for this next generation. And even us and having this conversation, I feel like I'm about to go, you know, take over the world after I've had this conversation with you. I might fly a plane, maybe. No, I would not do that. So your mom, a strong woman, and there's always a correlation between strong girls and strong women. It has to be some type of mentor in their life. I'm grateful for my mom. You're grateful for your mom. So we're thankful on that. How are you relaying this to the next generation? And how are you balancing all of that, especially all the things that go on in this world?
Yeah, so something interesting that you said about women and that feeling of imposter syndrome mm-hmm. is I was given an opportunity within Jefferson to take on a different role several years ago. And at the time, I had a male mentor. Mm-hmm. And when he spoke to me about this role, the very first thing I said to him was, I don't know anything about that department. And he laughed and he said to me, Amanda, of course not.
Yeah.
In these leadership roles, it would be impossible mm-hmm. for us to know mm-hmm. everything about the departments. That's not the point.
Yeah.
It's about assembling a strong team,
yes.
putting people in positions where they are going to excel,
so good.
Depending on them to share their knowledge and their expertise and trusting them.
Mm.
And that's what leadership really is. It's not about knowing the minutiae.
Yeah.
You never will. Something that really struck me about that was I feel like that's a philosophy that women don't necessarily think about.
100%.
My first thought was, mm-hmm. I don't know anything about that department. Of course I couldn't lead
You don't
it.
Have all the details.
Right.
Because we need all the details.
Right.
Give
I
me the details.
I need to know everything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
yeah.
leadership, again, is about empowering teams to do the work that they are entrusted to do and to trust them to do it well
yeah.
and to make sure that you've set them up for success.
Come on now. You are really preaching to the choir here. I mean, and I could see why you're so successful because your background in social work helps you understand human beings. And leadership is understanding characteristics in human beings and how they operate and what makes them tick and what makes them not tick. And I feel like that right there is, I think, one of the foundations for your success, would you say?
Yeah, I think I have learned a lot about leadership because of my background as a social worker
mm-hmm.
and also because of my background as a soccer mom.
Hey, okay.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
So I have a teenage son who plays
yeah.
soccer at a very high level.
Yeah.
And he's been on several different clubs throughout his youth soccer career. He's had multiple coaches. And something I observed early on
yeah.
was that every time he went to a new club or there was a new coach in the mix, that coach would move these boys around into different positions. So, oh, you typically play as a center back. I can kind of see you as a right wing. You're fast. You have a lot of speed.
Yeah.
Let me try you out over there and see how you do. Oh, you're typically playing as a left wing. You have a really good right foot and you have really good ball control and your teammates listen to you. You have a powerful voice. Let me try you out as center mid, kind of the quarterback of the soccer team. Wow. So I observed a lot of boys being moved around to different positions for the coach to really try to understand what that sweet spot was going to be for the individual child in the position and then all of those children in those positions working together. And often it involved some big changes, you know, somebody who always played offense now plays defense or vice versa. So I observed that and it had a big impression on my leadership style.
That's fantastic.
I think something that I'm proud of as a leader is that I have been good at moving people around.
Yeah.
I had somebody on my team who was heavily ingrained in very complex operational work. And I realized very early on with working with her that she has an incredible gift for people, a gift for gab.
Yes.
She easily builds rapport with people. She's incredibly charismatic. You are drawn to her.
Yes.
And I immediately thought, you know what? You have this operational data-focused job, but we have this need for somebody who's focused in the patient experience space, in the customer service space. Let's see how you do over here on an interim basis. And she soared and excelled and ended up being promoted. And that's something I'm really proud of. I've done that with the vast majority of people on my team where
that's
I've shuffled them around, given them other opportunities to grow and stretch in spaces that weren't traditionally within their job descriptions.
Yeah.
And I think in doing that, not only was I able to build a strong, powerful team that had really tremendous results, but I was able to keep people engaged, keep people professionally engaged in terms of their own growth. I think one of the things I'm also most proud of is that every single person on my team throughout my career at Jefferson has been promoted.
Wow.
And they, in turn, were very focused on promoting people within their teams. And we really built this culture where people had a lot of longevity and they had had several different positions in the organization. And again, that kept people together. That kept people engaged. It helped with recruitment. It helped with retention. Again, I think that's the really best way to empower people is to figure out what they're good at and figure out what they want to do.
I'm so in awe of that because I feel like this could be like a study at Harvard for a little bit. Because if you think about the how women are really nurturing in many different respects, and when you bring that side of them where they want to help the teammate, they want to help the village that they're from, they want to help the people around them, that's the core, right? And you feel good about yourself. You not only did you create a quality of life that is better for these individuals, like just on a micro detail for their families, for their selves, it also was good for business. And I think understanding that about people is just is phenomenal. Tell me a little bit about how you think the future of women and this next generation that's coming up, and what do you see some positives? Because I know I have, when I taught at, you know, Muhlenberg College, I see the fire in these young individuals. And I say young because I don't think I consider myself that old, but I'm also not a teenager anymore, right? So tell me a little bit about what you see in that future.
When I think about the future of women, one of the things I'm thinking about recently is Jalen Hurts of the Eagles.
Yes.
So he has recently received a tremendous amount of media attention for having an all-female management
team. He's a smart
team.
Guy.
He is a smart guy and just inked, I think, one of the largest, most lucrative contracts in the history of the NFL with this all-female leadership team behind him.
Yeah.
And when he speaks about that team, he says it happened very organically, but ultimately he understands that this all-female leadership team is able to bring a different perspective that he doesn't have. And he's able to see things from a different lens. And he really credits that diversity in thought behind him.
For sure.
As helping him to succeed. And I think as more men think about how to dismantle these systems that have been in place,
yeah,
to empower other areas of the sphere where women have not traditionally been involved in, yeah, brings diversity of thought. And that truly is thought leadership.
Yeah.
If we are going to be on teams with people who come from the same backgrounds as ourselves, mm-hmm, there's not going to be diversity in thought leadership. And thought leadership is most powerful when there is diversity behind it, the teams.
That's right. And that's what I think makes this nation great. That
absolutely
diversity of thought, that entrepreneurial spirit, that way to think outside of the box and say that there's sky's the limit, but beyond the sky is how we're working with one another. And I think that's the beauty of what I'm seeing and what we're trying to build here, especially in the Lehigh Valley. I think the Lehigh Valley is a special place. And one of the things that I care most about in Lehigh Valley is the ability to collaborate. And collaboration is key. So being able to see this merger, right, the things that you've seen, or see the collaborations on your team, whether you promoted, and then you see your team, right, promote others. So that door that was open to them, they want to extend that kindness because they're, you know what they say, the cup, when it overflows, you want to give. You have so much, you want to be able to give. And I think that's the best way. If you have a full cup, whatever that looks like, to be able to collaborate with others, better. So tell me a little bit about how you fill your cup.
So it's interesting. Early on in my career, when I worked at a different organization, I had a male leader who said to me when I stated that I had to miss a meeting to go to my son's kindergarten graduation, his response to me was, female executives don't get time off to go to school functions.
Oh, my.
And I didn't go.
Oh, wow.
And it's something that has stuck with me years later, and I think about it, and
yeah,
and I feel a pain of guilt. But at the same time, I learned a huge lesson from that, which is I don't want to be that kind of leader who instills a culture in the workplace that people do not go to their children's school functions. I want fathers to go to their children's school functions.
Absolutely.
I want aunts to go to their nieces' school functions.
Yes.
I want people to feel like having the flexibility to live their own lives and be their own true authentic selves at work is a core company value.
Wow.
And I really fostered that in my team. I used to always laugh at teammates when they would say, can I take an hour of vacation? I think I have a toothache and I might have a cavity and I think I need to go to the dentist, but I'll put in vacation time. And I always laugh and say, I'm going to write you up if you tell me you're going to put in vacation time, obviously joking. But I think, again, part of building a strong team culture is giving people the freedom and the flexibility to live their lives while maintaining that career. And that means that sometimes you're going to leave work to go to a doctor appointment or a school function, and that certainly shouldn't be frowned upon.
Absolutely. You just stated something powerful. But for me, I just, you know, I never realized that in any level. And I've seen this from folks that are, you know, working, whether they're hourly, they have to take certain breaks, right? I remember when I worked retail when I was in college, there was only, you know, 15-minute breaks, two 15-minute breaks, and that's it. And if you call off, you're on the hot list, right? So it's kind of on both ends of the spectrum here. It's really a mindset. And I love your mindset. And I love how you care for people. And I think that's, especially in these times, is caring for people and being able to say, in any times, really, but especially when folks are feeling a little distant, or perhaps they're scared, or perhaps they don't know if they're doing the right thing. You know, if an individual is on your team or in your organization, how can you lean in and say, hey, I know that you're struggling. Where can we place you? How do you start that conversation? How do you expect them to start the conversation?
I think that's really the whole point of authentic leadership. And people always say, what's your leadership style? What's your leadership philosophy? And I don't have a academic answer for that because it's authenticity.
Yeah.
And I think that really involves being yourself and meeting people where they are.
That's good.
It's really difficult if you're going to have a meeting with a team member where you're going to get down to business and talk about things that are going right, things that are going wrong within the business when you're not first addressing that on the human side.
Totally.
So before we get right down to business,
how's everybody doing?
How are you today?
Temperature check.
Right? Let's do a temperature check. Mm-hmm. Right now is a difficult time to be in healthcare. There's, you know, many policy changes potentially coming our way.
Yeah.
People are worried. People are anxious. And again, I think it's difficult to go into a meeting and talk about data when you're not talking about the human experience of being a healthcare worker, being a woman in America right now.
Yeah.
So really trying to get to know your team members and your colleagues as humans versus their role and job title is mission critical. Awesome. I'm a curious person.
Yeah.
I like to know about people. I want to know what your favorite pizza place is.
Yeah.
I want to know where the best vacation you ever took was. I want to know if you have pets.
Yeah.
I want to know what type of pets you have. I want to know what you named your children. I am very curious.
Yeah.
Or while growing up, my mother would say, nosy.
Thanks, Mom.
But I think that curious part of me has made it pretty easy for me to connect with people on a human level versus what is your job role and function and title and let's get down to business.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that makes people more creative.
It does.
Being in the creative space myself, I understand that you need a space to, yes, do your business and get all that data thing, all the things that you need to get focused and all the organization set. But you also need to take a moment and just sit with the lavender plants.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
I have a big lavender plant. And it started out real small. I thought that I had a black thumb, but my orchids are telling me otherwise.
Oh, orchids are tough.
They are.
They are.
But that was a resilience, right? I said, this plant looks like it's dead, but it's not dead. And I feel like that's the same way with people and their talents. And they feel like they're about to give up, right? They feel like they're at the end of their rope. And then something comes up, right? That little bud. And I'm like, wait a second. Something's sprouting. Then you have a couple more. There is a funny thing. I don't know if you've known this statistic, but when you talk to plants and you say nice things to the plants, I sound like a crazy person probably.
I'm a plant lady.
I love that.
I have about 50 plus plants.
It's amazing.
In fact, my husband has put me on a plant ban. He said the house looks like a jungle.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's fresh oxygen. And when you speak life into these plants, they start to bloom.
That's it.
And I feel like that's what we do. And I feel like there's a movement here with women. I do want to say that. I do believe that when we speak life into people, when we're helping and we're doing well, and sometimes it's, you know, where we get angry or we get frustrated, but trying to get on that track. And that's what I'm doing. I know that you're already doing that. You're light years ahead of me. You got all these plants in your house. I love it too.
Pandemic plants.
Tell me a little bit. What's your favorite plant?
My favorite plant is a money tree.
Oh, those are good. Those are good for oxygen.
They are great for oxygen.
Awesome.
And they grow quickly.
Yeah.
They're difficult to kill, even if you have a black thumb. But I was given a money tree as a gift early on during the pandemic when I was getting an MBA.
Wow.
At the same time working about 70 hours a week towards the beginning of COVID when we were really trying to get a handle on all of the emergency management.
Wow.
And I have a friend who gave me a money tree as a symbol of being able to get through the MBA program in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And now, you know, more than 5 years later, the tree barely fits in the room. It has flourished. And I really feel like that represents just personal growth.
So good.
Career growth. It's not about the money.
It's not about the money. No.
It's about the actual growth throughout a really difficult period.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite plant.
That's awesome. Music is a big part of how we wind down, right? And is music really a way that fills your cup? Or is it food? What is it that really fills your cup?
Music does really fill my cup. And I have to admit that I am a 50-year-old Swiftie.
Okay. Taylor Swift, are you listening?
Taylor Swift.
I love it.
Who, again, talk about a woman to admire.
Yes.
She is the only female billionaire musician who became a billionaire on music alone.
Amazing.
Not a perfume line, not a clothing line, music alone. And again, I think she's a role model that I've learned from, despite our age difference. And she's someone that I was thrilled to see my daughter embrace because, again, I think these are the kind of role models that we all need, particularly in this difficult time in history.
For
where some of the movements that we've been really focused on over the past decade or so potentially are changing. And there's some fear with that change. How are we going to continue the momentum of empowering women, empowering each other? So, again, I think that's where it's really important to have these female role models. So I love Taylor Swift. I love to dance.
That's awesome. I love that.
I love to go out to dinner with friends. I am incredibly lucky that I have friends for 30 years. We live all over the country. We meet once a year somewhere central-ish for a girls' trip.
That's awesome.
And we learn from each other. Everybody that is still in my life from many, many eras ago, working professionals. And we're in different industries, but we experience the same challenges and bounce ideas off of each other. And it's been really gratifying to have this connection of women who, again, have been with me and I've been with them through many eras, but we're still together and we've learned so much from each other.
That's fantastic. I mean, this has been such a wonderful conversation, and being able to kind of dive into really what makes you you. And we get nervous about all of the changes. How are we going to inspire women? How are you going to women inspire women, right? Women inspire women. You know what they say? Women don't dress for men, they dress for women.
That's right.
I wore this dress for you.
And I love it. Thank you. I told you immediately.
Yeah. Right? And so that's it right there. Speaking life into one another and saying, you know, how we can better one another and collaborate. I'm excited that there are so many different initiatives happening, and you can't stop what something is already happened. It's going to continue to happen whether people like it or not. Right.
That's right.
You can't stop. You can't press down love. Love pours over. And I think that's the one thing that I've learned in my life. But as we wrap up, as we close in, tell us a little bit, a couple of things, a couple of takeaways that you could share with our viewers and listeners.
Never say no when an opportunity presents itself.
That's good.
You will figure it out.
Yes.
Because again, leadership and career growth is about being resourceful. It's about figuring out how to make the impossible happen.
Yeah.
And if you are resourceful, you will figure out a way how to make something happen.
For sure.
So if you are given an opportunity and you think to yourself, I don't have those skills, I don't have that background, I don't have that knowledge base, say yes,
yes,
and figure it out later. Surround yourself with smart, capable, supportive people who you can lean on. If you build a network of people like that in your corner, you will have knowledge to tap into to figure out how to do things that you didn't think you knew how to do. And it's really about building those relationships, building those support networks, figuring out who's good at what, and bringing those people together. I think my biggest skill is that I am a connector.
So good.
Because I'm curious about people and I like to bring people together. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to get your bathroom remodeled? I know your style. And my friend from work just got her bathroom remodeled, and I'm going to introduce you to her and have her send you pictures. And I do that with everything.
Wow.
And I've really been able to bring a lot of people together. I've been able to help people get jobs. I've been able to help people get positions on boards, really become entrenched with volunteer organizations. And I think helping to connect people is really how you are going to empower women.
Absolutely.
Is when women are connecting other women and you're just spreading that. I think early on as a working mother, one of the things I realized was that there was a great deal of social media support for working moms who were working part-time.
Yes.
There was not a great deal of social media support at the time for working moms in executive jobs. Mm. So I started a Facebook group, and within 6 months, there were 12,000 people across the country in this Facebook group that is still active years later. And again, that group was formed from somebody connects their friend who connects their friend who connects their neighbor who connects their coworker. And the next thing you know, you have a powerful resource for women across the country that happened organically through friends of friends and Amazing. Word of mouth. And that is the power of women.
Yes.
So make connections. Absolutely. Learn about people.
Yeah.
Find out what they're interested. Find out what they're good at and tap into them.
Oh, man. Like I said, I mean, this is just phenomenal. This conversation, I feel like we are hitting on a really important nerve. And don't be afraid, like you said. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. And don't be afraid to say yes. Thank you, Amanda Kimmel-Cohen. You have inspired the next generation. You've inspired me and women all across this nation and the world. So we appreciate you. So thanks for staying on and being on Her Story.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a privilege. I appreciate it.
Please listen to Her Story, celebrating women who lead, on air, online, and archived on the WDIY app. This program is generously supported by Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health.